Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Apostle Paul was brought before the Roman governor Felix in Caesarea. During the encounter, the Holy Spirit convicted Felix of his sin. But this man would not repent, telling Paul he'd see him at a more convenient time, a time which never came. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Turn to Acts chapter 24 as we unravel why Felix would not respond to Paul's message.
Listen, there's something about us today, we don't even want to hear it. Don't tell me. Because we know that when it comes to the truth, it can be very convicting. Well, Felix, the Bible says, was alarmed. He was convicted by the truth, but he did reject it. You'll notice he says, Paul, come back some other time. Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. And now he shuns the truth. He shuts down his conscience. I remember when I was the pastor of a different church, some young people sitting in the balcony. For some reason, young people like to sit in the balcony. And they used to say, Pastor Lutzer, we were so convicted when you preached that as soon as the service was over, we would go out and we'd get into our cars and we'd turn on the radio real loud because we didn't even want to deal with the issues. That's the way we as humans are. So Felix does that. But notice what was really in his heart. He says, when I get an opportunity, I'll summon you. At the same time, verse 26, he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. You see, Paul had brought an offering. He'd brought an offering to the saints at Jerusalem. That's one of the reasons he went to Jerusalem. And so Paul mentions that in his defense, which we didn't have time to read. Paul mentions that. So Felix is thinking, Paul's connected here. Maybe I can get some money. And so he has Paul a number of times. You'll notice it says, so he sent for him often and conversed with him. He thought to himself, he hasn't given me money yet, but if I get him often enough, and if I keep him in jail long enough, maybe he'll come through. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. Knew right well the guy was innocent. But there in prison, the Apostle Paul is going to know the presence of God, because prison for Paul was just as much within the will of God as the good times were. If you have the faith to believe it, that's how you can handle your circumstances. But back to Felix. If you summarize the life of this man who saw the truth, was confronted by it, was alarmed by it, and then, so far as we know, dies without responding to it, the bottom line is this, that he simply sacrificed. He sacrificed the present on the altar of eternity. Or perhaps I should put it differently. He sacrificed eternity. I think this would be more accurate. He sacrificed eternity on the altar of the present. What he said was, all that I care about is the money. That's number one. That's the number of motivation. I hope Paul gives me a bribe. And number two, what do people think of me? There are some of you here who are listening right now. You've never trusted Christ as Savior. And what is going through your mind with such clarity over and over again is this: if I become a Christ follower, if I believe in Jesus, what is my family going to say about me? What about my colleagues at work? What about my relatives? What about it? Is something like Festus saying, I want to do the Jews a favor because what people think is more important than what God thinks? And like Festus and Felix, Festus also, he's the next ruler, you are putting him off and you're saying, it doesn't matter, I'm going to stifle the voice that I know I should follow. And so Felix postpones And it is often said that if you have this idea that someday I will do something, someday turns out to be no day. You never do it. You put it off. You know, as I was thinking about this and preparing this message yesterday, I was thinking to myself that Felix has been dead now for, what shall we say, roughly 1950 years. After he died, he was in eternity. And according to the Bible, he was in a place called Hades, not yet hell, but Hades, fully conscious, fully aware, fully remembering exactly the opportunity he had. We can prove that from Scripture. Good memory. And there he is, knowing that eternity awaits. And he sacrificed it all because he was hoping for a bribe, didn't want to confront his sin, and wanted to please the Jews. What an unbelievable tragedy. I don't know how to put that clearer to you today. What a tragedy. Now, there is someone in American history I thought of who somehow fits into the same category. He was not an evil person in the sense of Felix, but his name was Benjamin Franklin. My son-in-law gave me a copy of a long biography of Franklin, and so I've tried to look at it very quickly. I don't have time to read these books page by page. Life is passing me by. But what I was interested in is Franklin's relationship with God. Now, you know that he became great friends with the evangelist Whitfield. George Whitfield was a great preacher. George Whitfield used to speak to 7,000 to 10,000 people in Philadelphia and in Boston without a microphone. And people could hear him all the way to the end. One day, Franklin was there, and I guess he got bored in hearing the message, and it was an outdoor meeting, and he walked away and then measured later the number of feet that he could walk down the street and still hear Whitfield preach. They became very good friends. As a matter of fact, Franklin often had Whitfield stay with him. They had a deal that I'm sure Franklin appreciated, and so did Whitfield, and that is that Franklin would publish all of Whitfield's sermons. And so Franklin did that and made a lot of money, and it also made Whitfield famous. In the Pennsylvania Gazette, Benjamin Franklin on 6 occasions had the full text of Whitfield's sermons and referred to him at least another 40 times in his other publications. So they became good friends. Now you can imagine Whitfield, whose theme was "Ye must be born again." If you've ever read Whitfield's sermons, you know that he hammered on that because Jesus hammered on that. There's a famous Swiss theologian that I will not bother mentioning who believed that everyone was born again. We just had to announce to them that they were. But Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." So I have to ask you, are you born again? I'm not asking you whether you've prayed a prayer. I'm asking you, are you born again? Jesus said, without it, you can't get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, anyway, after Whitfield died, Franklin wrote these words. He says, "Whitfield used to pray for me for my conversion, but never had the satisfaction of believing that his prayers were heard." And then just before Franklin died, he was asked about his faith, and he said he believed in God as creator, and he believed in the providence of God. When he was asked if he believed in Jesus, he said, "Yes, Jesus is a great teacher, a great moral teacher, the likes of which the world has not seen." But then he was asked whether he believed in the divinity of Jesus, and this is a quote. "I have some doubts as to his divinity, though it is a question I do not dogmatize upon, having never studied it, and I think it needless to busy myself with it now, when I expect soon I shall have an opportunity of knowing the truth with a lot less trouble." In other words, he said, "I'm dying, and now I'll find out." Franklin was brilliant. I learned that from the biography. Great deal of impact here in America regarding the convention and all that. Brilliant. But in the end, very foolish. Don't wait until you die to find out whether or not it is so. It's too late. Too late. That's exactly what Felix did. He trembled. And yet he said no, because of money, because of other people's opinions. He deadened his conscience. So where are you? I guess as I conclude, I want you to look into my eyes, and that's easier to do now that I don't have the glasses I used to wear. Do you know that you have been born again, that you've received Christ as Savior, that He's given you a new nature? Do you know that the righteousness of God has been credited to your account so that you stand before God as if you are Jesus? Do you know that? Or are you like Felix? I'm a sinner. I'm convicted. I'm alarmed. But please, come back some other time. I don't know what else to say, folks. So when I don't have anything else to say, let's just pray. Father, I want to pray for all those who are listening to me today here in this sanctuary as well as the internet around the world, who are basically good people, people who are quite convinced that they'll make it on their own. They may believe in a prophet, but they do not believe in a Savior, for only Jesus has the qualifications to be a Savior. Would you, Father, today bring about a conviction that leads to faith? I don't know who you are here today, but if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you do that right now? I mean right now. I want you to say to Jesus, either silently or out loud, Jesus, I believe on you right now and receive you. Don't put it off. Eternity is long. Time is short. Father, today for those who are struggling, overcome their struggle. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have believed on Him as a result of running to win, would you let us know? We're always greatly encouraged when we hear about those who have trusted Christ as Savior or who have been blessed as a result of this ministry. And as we are encouraged, we want to come into your home day after day with God's holy word. Stay tuned, because in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Hope that you listen to them again, share them with your friends, and let us pray that God in His grace will give us the same confidence, the same courage, and the same strength as the early church. I have frequently prayed that the heart of the Apostle Paul would be my heart. I pray that also for you today. We'll see you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer wrapping up The Light Shines on a Governor, another message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, Paul faces a higher Roman official. Join us as The Light Shines on a King. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.